Jason, how many Brainiacs do you think there are?
47.
That's a good guess, but today we're talking about Brainiac 5, because your geek history lesson on Brainiac 5 is now in session. Hello, and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason 105105105 Inman. Welcome to your Mind University, because Geek History Lesson is the podcast where we take one character, construct, or team and break it down for you in a little bit less than an hour. And today, we're talking about a person who's part mortal, part flesh, part computer, five times the computer. It is Brainiac 5.
Correct.
A green-skinned, blonde-haired little boy alien that is part of the Legion of Superheroes. And as you know about this podcast, we love the Legion of Superheroes. And thank God they're finally showing up on Supergirl.
Yeah.
So Brainiac is making his debut on the CW TV show Supergirl this week. So we thought this would be the perfect time to talk about Brainiac 5, correct?
Yeah, totally. He's my favorite Legionnaire too. So this is very exciting.
All right. And this will be hopefully a precursor to our eventual Legion of Superheroes.
Six-part Legion of Superheroes.
Oh my God. More like the 28 part.
Well, strap in because you're teaching it.
Oh man. Half the year. A Legion of Superheroes, Geek History Lesson, episode 1255, Legion of Superheroes.
Still doing the Legion of Superheroes.
Part 247.
That's so funny.
Lordy. Maybe that'll be the end of Geek History Lesson. When we're finally done with this, we'll just become the Geek History Legion lesson. Oh, the Geek History Legion. I like that.
There you go.
It's a good name. All right, let's move into the first section of our podcast, the 10-cent origin, where Ashley's going to give you the Cliff Notes version of the character, just in case you go to a cocktail party in the 31st century, and one of the other members of the science police asks you, who is Brainiac 5?
That'd be so cool. Brainiac 5, a.k.a. Quirrell Dox, is, of course, a DC Comics character. He was created by Jerry Siegel, creator of Superman, and Jim Mooney, and is based on Brainiac, who was created by Otto Binder and Al Plastino, the classic Superman villain. His first appearance was in Action Comics number 276 in May of 1961. He is a Kaluan alien from the planet Kalu. We'll talk more about that in the main episode. And his aliases include Brainiac 5.1, B5, and Brainy. He has a ton of abilities, including 12th level intelligence. Just for reference, most modern day Earthlings possess 6th level intelligence.
Really? We're that low?
We're that low. Most Kaluans that Brainiac grew up with have 8th level intelligence, and he's at 12. So he's pretty freaking smart.
Somebody's a show off.
Yes. This means, of course, that he has superhuman calculation skills.
For a second there, I thought you were going to say superhuman calculus abilities.
I mean, he probably has those, but they're not in my list.
You've never seen me work an abacus.
Oh, man. He is an abacus. Amazing memory and exceptional technological knowledge. So he's real brainy, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So now, before we get into the meet cute, we want to give a special shout out and a special thank you to the sponsor of this episode, Lisa.
Yes, Lisa is one of our favorite sponsors, mm-hmm. because not only do they make an amazing direct-to-consumer mattress to you, but they also sent us a mattress.
What?
It's super, super comfy, and they are a company that I think stands above the rest because they are socially conscious.
Yeah.
They're not out there just to make money. They plant a tree for every mattress that is sold, and they donate 1% of each employee's time to volunteer for local causes. So Lisa, they're a smart company. They make a great product.
Mm-hmm.
And they care about the planet we live on, Earth. They don't care about Kalu.
No, they don't.
Brainiac 5's planet. They don't care. They care about Earth.
They're kind.
They're kind about Earth. And they make an amazing mattress that's shipped compressed in a box directly to your door. You can try the mattress in your own home for 100 nights risk-free. And it's free shipping, because you don't want to pay the shipping on a mattress, because that
truth
is ridiculous. It's available in the United States, United Kingdom, Canada, and Germany, and they are soon to offer, straight from the 31st century, the Lisa pillow.
Nice.
So if you want to try out a Lisa mattress, and please do, I think they are an amazing company, and their mattress is super comfy. It's so comfy, I think you might sleep to the 31st century.
Ooh.
You can get $100 off a Lisa mattress by going to Lisa.com, and Lisa is spelled L-E-E-S-A,
oh.
Not L-S. Not L-I-S-A, like your girlfriend.
Mm.
LEESA.com/geekhistory. That's pretty easy to remember. And use the promo code geekhistory on your order. I'm going to repeat that again. Go to Lisa.com/geekhistory. Use the promo code geekhistory. And remember, you get 100 nights, 100 sleeps. Well, if you sleep more than that, you get more than 100 sleeps.
Mm.
You could get 200 sleeps, at least 200 sleeps.
If you have a nap in there.
Risk-free, as long as you do that, 2 sleeps a day. To try out your mattress.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for Lisa sponsoring Geek History Lesson, and go check out their awesome mattresses. We're going to go straight into the meet cute.
Yeah, what's that, Jason?
That is a section of our podcast where we tell you how we meeted and cuted the character that we were talking about.
That's true. So a few years ago, I wanted to read a Legion story. And so I said, hey, Jason, what's a good Legion story I should read?
That's right.
And he recommended a book called Legion Lost, spoilers for our recommended reading that I read. And Brainiac 5 is in that. And he's great. And that's where I first meted and cuted him. I'd heard of him before, but that was my first real meaningful interaction with him as a character. How about you, Jason? Where did you first meet Brainiac 5?
I first met Brainiac 5 after Zero Hour, when they rebooted the Legion,
mm-hmm.
and it was called, it's now been renamed the Archie Legion because it looks like Archie comics, and the characters were giving more youthful appearances. They were de-aged, and Brainiac is in that. And Mark Waid co-wrote it. I can't remember the name of the other writer, but I didn't really love the Legion
mm-hmm.
until Legion Lost, which is the book that I gave you, which is the reason why I own that book. It's one of my favorite Legion stories of all time. Now, Brainiac 5 has popped up in regular DC continuity a couple of times. There's a couple of Green Lantern Kyle Rayner stories
mm-hmm.
where Brainiac 5 tells him what's what. So that's where he's one of those characters, like a lot of characters, where he's one of these characters, he doesn't have a direct title.
Yeah.
So it's tough to remember the exact moment or exact mm-hmm. place where I met him. I met him in several places. And I put them all together.
Cool.
There you go.
You constructed Brainiac 5.
That's right. Let's move into the History 101 of Geek History Lesson. This is where Professor Ashley is going to pull out her notes and pull out that overhead projector and start making notes to tell you all the details in binary code of who Brainiac 5 is.
Not in binary. As we discussed in the Cyborg episode, binary is stupid.
Oh, actually, no. In the future, it's triplicate.
Oh, triplicate because it's got fives in
no,
it, right?
No, it's interlac.
Oh, yeah.
Interlac binary.
Well, yeah, you're not wrong. So Brainiac 5 debuted with the 1958 original Legion of Superheroes. Now, he didn't come along for a couple more years, but that team is often referred to as the 1958 Legion. The characters were invented to be a supporting cast for Superboy to appear against. Now, at this time, Superboy was the kid version of Superman. He was not a separate character. He wasn't Connor. He wasn't Jonathan. This was like baby Clark Kent. And this gets retconned away later with the introduction of Supergirl and then Connor.
And then retcon back into...
And then, yeah, it's weird. So the original Legion was Superboy, who had been recruited by a bunch of time travelers from the future. And these time travelers included Lightning Lad, Saturn Girl, and Cosmic Lad.
Yeah.
They appeared for an entire issue. And they were so popular in their one-off adventure that they came back in Action Comics in 1961 for 2 issues. And they added a number of new members, including Chameleon Boy, Invisible Kid, Colossal Boy, Star Boy, Brainiac 5, Triplicate Girl, Shrinking Violet, Sun Boy, Bouncing Boy, Phantom Girl, and Ultra Boy. Because, you know, those 3 characters work so well, let's do 10.
You know, it's weird. I wonder how come they didn't decide to just name him Brain Boy. Because every character...
Because Brainiac already existed.
I get that, but we're not Brainiac. Every other character in the Legion is something boy, something girl.
Well, and they're Shrinking Violet.
Brainiac Boy. Oh, yeah. Shrinking Violet breaks it, too.
But I see, because it does break the naming convention a little bit. I'm glad they didn't, because Brain Boy is not as good a name as Brainiac 5. And Brainiac 5 is already kind of a dumb name.
I'm telling you, Brain Boy.
Look for Brain Boy, copyright Geek History Lesson.
Brain Boy.
Coming at you.
Brain Boy. That's fine.
Green alien with blonde hair.
I like it. Brain Boy.
So, fun fact, after Supergirl was introduced, she kind of took over Superboy's standard place in the Legion, which is why the character is obviously being introduced in her TV show, but more on that later. Brainiac 5 is descended from the original Brainiac, aka Brainiac 1. And his mother and father are both Brainiac 4, which I know is confusing.
It doesn't make sense.
So here's a Brainiac family tree.
Oh, thank God. I will say that I requested this of Ashley.
Yes, you did. Took me an hour.
When she was working on the lesson, I was like, I don't know who all the different Brainiacs are.
To be fair, you don't need to know who any of them are for this lesson,
yes,
except the original.
Yes, we do.
Because most of them are dumb.
Oh, man, the Brainiac family tree. I'm so excited
about
this.
You ready? It needs a theme song, I feel like. There you go. That's cute. So Brainiac 1 is the evil Superman baddie. He is a techno-organic being with 12th level intelligence who travels the multiverse looking for cities to shrink and abduct, which is how you get things like the baby city of Kandor. Brainiac 2 is Vrile Dox. Fans of Sterling Gates' Adventures of Supergirl tie-in comic series will remember he had a turn there as a baddie in the first arc.
You know, I'm not certain whether it's Vrile or Vril. I've actually never heard it said out loud.
Well, I'm going to say it. Sterling Gates said Vrile, so that's why I'm saying it that way. Cool. So I'm going to throw him under the bus if it's wrong.
He's also the leader of that 90s title Legion, which was...
We'll get to that.
Okay, but I was just L.E.G.I.
We'll get to that.
Okay,
yeah.
We're going to talk about it
more? Yes, we will.
Okay, so Vrile.
So Vrile Dox is a genetic clone of the first Brainiac who briefly led the Sinestro Corps during Blackest Night. That's where most people know him from, really super briefly. Brainiac 3 is Lyrl, L-Y-R-L, Dox.
Sure.
And he is the genius son of Vrile Dox's second clone. Okay.
It's D-O-X?
Yes.
Okay.
Dox, yeah. Brainiac 4 is maybe related to the others. He's the father of Brainiac 5. The other Brainiac 4 is the leader of the Dark Circle, which is a criminal organization populated entirely by clones of the original members. She's a clone of Brainiac's father, Brainiac 5's father, the original Brainiac 4. So she's also Brainiac 4, but they're also the parents of Brainiac 5. Just go with it. Brainiac 5 is the cutie pie and the subject of this lesson. Brainiac 6 is the name for a creature that was spawned when the original Brainiac took over Brainiac 5's body to attack Superboy. Brainiac 7 is also known as the Invisible Kid, a biochemical genius who formulated a serum to turn himself invisible, who also served on the Legion.
Yeah.
Although he does appear as Caucasian, he doesn't appear green. Brainiac 8 is Indigo. Smallville and Supergirl fans should recognize her. She's a blue android with a former member of the Outsiders. Brainiac 9, who knows? Brainiac 10, who knows? Brainiac 11, who knows? Brainiac 12, in the main timeline, he's also known as Brainiac 13, even though he's the 12th Brainiac. But on an alternate future timeline, Lex Luthor and a group of scientists called the Future Smiths created Brainiac 12.
Oh, I remember that. Mm-hmm. Is he the green and purple Brainiac? He's the Brainiac that in the right before the year 2000 that the Superman writers used, because Brainiac during that storyline infected Metropolis, like this weird virus.
Yeah.
So Metropolis became this city of the future for a while, and like weird tunnels and stuff like that. Oh, he's the Superman of like the 2000 era.
And fun fact, Cyr-El, who's a really kind of dumb alternate version of Supergirl, sacrifices herself in that timeline so that it never came to pass. So technically this character also never existed.
Do you know who Cyr-El is?
She's an alternate version of Supergirl.
But you know specifically who she is.
No.
She's the daughter of Lois and Clark.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't read anything up on her beyond this.
I believe we talked about her in the Supergirl
really briefly
episode. But yeah. She's Clark and Lois's daughter.
Oh, that's cool. Bring her back.
So in an alternate world, she is Jonathan's sister.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
They should have a new... Oh, I could write that.
She could be baby. She could be baby.
She should be Jonathan's little sister. Mm-hmm. Brainiac 13 is an even more advanced version from the 64th century. Brainiac 417 is a super intelligent and intangible member of Justice Legion L,
oh,
the super team from the 853rd century, which we will talk about
again. The year 1 million.
Yes. And Brainiac's daughter is the daughter of Brainiac 5 and Supergirl in the Kingdom Come continuity, where she's also a member of the Justice League.
She's got a cool look.
She looks amazing. She looks like really so cool. Many characters yep. in mm-hmm. Kingdom Come.
Alex Ross's can do no wrong when designing characters.
And that's the entire Brainiac family tree as I understood it.
I love how some of them just skip.
It just skips from like 9 to 12. You're just like, there's nothing.
But isn't it weird how it goes from 3 to 4, but it takes...
But there's 2 fours.
But it takes 1,000 years to go from 3 to 4?
Yeah. Yeah. So, right. Yeah. So they all come from a planet called Kalu or Kolu, I guess.
I've never heard it said out loud either.
Also known as Briac, Yod, and Yod-Kolu. That's actually what it's called in the current continuity. It's called Yod-Kolu.
I've always said it Kolu in my head.
I don't know. It just makes me think of Kahlua, which is a coffee liqueur.
I've always said Kolu.
It's the fourth planet from its sun in its own solar system. So it's actually very similar to Earth in a lot of ways, which I think is kind of cool.
It's in the Goldilocks zone.
Yes. Yeah. When Brainiac 5 reached his teenage years, he wanted to join the Legion to atone for what his ancestors had done against Superman and the greater galaxy, because he believed that he was directly descended from Brainiac 1. He believed that.
Well, in a way.
Remember that. He did quickly learn that he was, in fact, descended from Vryldox, who's Brainiac 2, who's a clone of the original Brainiac, so he's technically not culpable for any of those actions.
Oh, okay.
Which made him feel a little bit better. This is also important because the original Brainiac founded the Computer Tyrants, who pretty much did what their name suggests, and Vryldox, Brainiac 2, led a rebellion against them, making him a good guy and somewhat preserving the integrity of Brainiac 5. Heritage at the same time.
Got it.
So for the rest of this lesson, we're going to skip over sort of the greater swath of what the Legion is up to, even though he pretty much exclusively appears in Legion Adventures.
Well, we've got to save that for the 247 episodes
of Legion of Superheroes.
When we become Geek History Legion.
Yes. I basically just want to hit on the Brainy highlights during these times.
I think that's totally fine.
And he's done some pretty amazing things, like he invented the Legion flight ring.
Yes. That is a fact that many people don't know. Because
I didn't know that.
There is a... God, what is the story?
I know how he invented it and what he invented it for.
Well, I was going to say in the Mark Waid reboot, that is a thing where they have the characters around. And I remember when I first read that story, because the Legion flight ring is such an important part of the Legion.
It's so iconic.
And I remember as a kid reading that Legion Zero Hour reboot and being like, why aren't they flying? Where are the rings? Yeah. And then Brainiac shows up and makes the ring.
So the design had actually been begun by his relative Invisible Kid from a metal that had been originally discovered by Mon-El, who we also have a lesson on that you can go and listen to. And Brainiac built it so that all of the members of his team would be able to fly, because if they didn't have a ship, that was the easiest way for them all to get around together. He invented the anti-lead serum that protected Mon-El and allowed him to leave the Phantom Zone, as well as Mon-El's force field belt, which is often what allows him to protect himself or fly. He also invented Computo, which turned out to be evil and then tried to take over the world and killed one version of Triplicate Girl. So that was kind of less good. But Brainiac 5 ultimately destroyed Computo. But this is not the last you will hear of him.
Okay.
However, he didn't learn much of a lesson and went on to aid in the transformation of Professor Jackson Rugarth into the supervillain Infinite Man. Brainiac kind of has this habit of pursuing big ideas and not thinking about the consequences. He never builds in defense mechanisms or fail safes in case something goes wrong. He could do with being a little more like Batman in this regard.
All right.
Once Supergirl joined the team, Brainiac 5 found himself attracted to her because she's like a pretty strong girl, which was something he hadn't ever counted on happening. And as a result, he kept his feelings to himself for a long time. However, as more and more of his projects backfired on him, Brainiac 5 started to become unstable. And he did things like building a giant robot duplicate of Supergirl while he was sleepwalking and convincing himself that it was actually Kara and that she was in love with him.
What?
Yeah, he gets weird.
That's creepy.
He was later seduced away from his duty to the Legion by a character named Pulsar Stargrave, who was a supervillain who managed to convince Brainy that he was his long-lost father. It was later retconned in Superboy 225 that Pulsar Stargrave was the original Brainiac, Brainiac 1, in disguise, but this fact kind of remains unconfirmed and nebulous, so if you like to believe that, you can, and if you don't, then that's also good. Brainy remains a villain for a while after this, aiding Stargrave in murdering people, such as Ultra Boy's girlfriend, Anne Ride.
Look, it's like I've always said, you don't trust a Brainiac.
And he goes on to help Stargrave frame Ultra Boy for the crime.
Look, this wouldn't have happened if he was called Brain Boy. I'm just saying.
You don't know that.
I do.
Chameleon Boy discovers the deception and Brainiac's growing madness just in time for Brainiac 5 to try and destroy the universe using the Miracle Machine, which basically turns your thoughts into reality. It's a really oversimplified version of what it does. Brainy is stopped by Matter Eater Lad, who simply eats the machine. you think that's funny?
Yeah, I do.
And they both have to go into a mental institution after this trauma.
Even Matter Eater Lad?
Especially Matter Eater Lad.
He's like, oh, this machine was so too much lead.
I guess.
Isn't it weird in the 31st century that they still use lead?
Yes, lead is. We don't use lead. Lead is horrible.
Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe in the future, they're so far advanced
that it's not bad for you.
That it's not bad for you anymore.
Unless you're Mon-El.
Or they've all taken the lead injections. And so they're like just bathing.
They have an immunity.
They're just bathing in lead. They're like, everything's made out of lead.
Oh, that's so gross.
We like to live dangerously.
Oh, that's so gross. Following his recovery, Brainy is welcomed back into the Legion, because why not?
Because the story demanded it.
Yes. However, he is immediately then accused of murdering Anne Ride himself and forced to hunt down Stargrave to prove his true innocence. He also is able to help Matter Eater Lad regain his sanity and finds a way to control Computo, so he kind of gets a nice, real, full-circle character arc.
All right.
Over the course of, like, 20-some issues. Now we're going to skip a little bit forward in time to Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah, we sure did skip some time.
Jason, well, because Brainiac, he remains on the Legion in this time, but he's really in a supporting capacity. This is the next time he does something really important. Jason, what's Crisis on Infinite Earths?
There's a character called the Anti-Monitor. He doesn't like the universe, so he eats it.
And instead of 50,000 billion trillion different parallel universes, there's only one now.
Yeah. Cool.
That's it.
So follow me for the on this for a minute, okay? Just go with it. Brainiac 5 had gone into the past. I'm sorry. Brainiac 5 had gone into 1,000 years of mourning after the love of his life, Supergirl, was killed by the Anti-Monitor during Crisis on Infinite Earths.
It's a very famous cover, of course, where Superman is holding the dead body of Supergirl. You've all seen it, even if you haven't read that storyline.
So what should he do? But he flies down into hell to commit suicide. When Crisis eliminated Supergirl from ever having existed, he forgot all about her. Other than this, he's one of the characters to escape Crisis on Infinite Earths with almost no changes to his personal history. But yeah, he forgets about Supergirl, and then he's sad that he forgets about Supergirl, so he dives down into hell. It's really dumb. Following the death of Superboy Prime, Brainiac 5 and some fellow Legionnaires swore revenge on the Time Trapper. The Time Trapper has control over time itself and now, is a silly character.
Now, this is, you said Superboy Prime, but that Superboy is not Superboy Prime. That's a little bit.
Was in my research, so sorry.
No, that's not Superboy Prime. Superboy Prime is the evil Superboy from Infinite Crisis.
Yes.
Because in the DC Universe, Superboy Prime is our Earth.
Mm.
What that Superboy was is, you talked about how the Legion, especially because of John Byrne's Man of Steel, really had to get rid of all mentions of Superboy, because John Byrne was making it to where Clark Kent didn't become Superman until he was an adult. So that meant no more adventures of Superboy. So that meant that Superboy could no longer be a founding member of the Legion. So they did this storyline with the Time Trapper and Superboy. And so this is the Golden Age Superboy. Is who this character is. It's not Superboy Prime. And they sort of made it a Superboy from a pocket dimension. It's weird. It's their attempt to retcon Superboy out of their
Legion
history.
Okay.
It was their last attempt. Because I know Superboy Prime is going to come back up in this lesson, and I don't want our listeners to be
all
confused.
Right. So after the death of the original Superboy, Brainiac 5 and some of his fellow Legionnaires swore revenge on the Time Trapper. Like I said, had control over time. He kind of looks like a ring wraith. And for his part in the death of Superboy, Brainiac recruited Infinite Man. Remember when we talked about him earlier? The supervillain that he helped become a supervillain? Yeah. Before he and Time Trapper obliterated each other. So Brainiac was like, hey guys, remember when I accidentally made Professor Rugarth into a villain? If we sick him on Time Trapper, they'll kill each other. Great, great. And that's what happened. However, Brainiac 5 was then accused of murdering Professor Rugarth, so he quit the team. He did not rejoin the Legion until the Legion of Superheroes, Volume 3, Number 69, in August of 1989, right before the five-year gap. Jason, do you know what the five-year gap is?
Yes, and I might be mistaking a couple parts of this. The five-year gap is where they jumped the Legion titles ahead 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I want to say there was like an alien invasion. Earth was like wrecked. I can't remember who the
Magic Wars.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. But I believe it was Keith Giffen who was writing this book at the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who did it? Yes.
Yes.
It's where they get more adult and they get darker. It was the Legion's attempt to be like to join the 90s.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised that you knew that because mm-hmm. I didn't.
I've heard of it.
So during this time, Brainy was obsessed with curing the Validus Plague that had destroyed an entire planet and infected Lightning Lad. So this was also when a retcon removed all the Superman family characters from Legion continuity. Like Supergirl was replaced by Laurel Gand, who's a Daxamite niece of Largand, who's Mon-El. And Laurel and Brainy did have a relationship until she became the common law wife of Rond Vidar, who's a Green Lantern from the 30th century who works with the Legion. He remained on the team long enough to see it reassembled and expand to confront Darkseid, and that's a really cool story. They were soon swept...
It's the Great Darkness Saga.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
They were then swept up in the invasion war between the Dominators and the corrupt EarthGov. This is in the future. So this is like, remember Invasion? And we thought that was cool when we did that event. Let's do it in the 31st century.
Well, I believe it was at the same time.
It was.
And,
it was.
And that was the Legion's tie-in
mm-hmm.
because...
But it's the same story just set in the future. So EarthGov is like Earth government in the future.
It's not a great tie-in. You know who wrote Invasion, correct?
I know.
Keith Giffen.
I did know that.
And he was writing Legion. So, of course, he was going to tie in his own
book. Why not? So during this time, this is really crazy. The entire Legion was cloned, and they're called Batch SW6. And when future Earth was destroyed by this war, in an analog to the way Krypton had been destroyed,
sure.
These cloned Legionnaires remained to rebuild the new Earth, including a version of Brainiac 5. I wanted to explain that, and I want you to remember that, because these clones are going to come back.
What?
Not long after this, Brainy discovered that the time stream was wildly unstable and the Legionnaires' history was in constant flux. This had been regarded as the first sign of Zero Hour, which would reboot the entire Legion history. So a lot of people, when they look back on comic book history, they're like, this is where Zero Hour starts. This is the first whisperings that it's going to happen, because it happened.
None of this would have happened if he'd been called Brain Boy.
I'd put that bumper sticker on the back of my car. I'm just saying.
Brain Boy.
Brainy also, from this point forward, becomes obsessed with the idea of trying to stabilize and protect the time stream and preserve Legionnaire history. Spoiler alert, he does a bad job at it. And nobody in the Legion really buys as much as him how much danger they're in from just being wiped out of history at any point in time. Brainy then suffers some physical ailments not long after the battle against Glorith, who is a time-warping sorceress. He suffers rapid aging into a feeble old man, and this caused his distant personality to become colder, more cynical, and even more evil than before.
And then suddenly not like when kids are on his lawn.
Kind of, though.
Yep.
He's like, I don't understand your music. What's this rap? Like, he's
How does this Twitter work?
I don't like Netflix. So he's very that.
Even in the 31st century, he's like, I don't like Netflix. They're like, Grandpa, we're on like Netflix 2018.
Well, I like 2017 better. You're the only one. Screw you. He was forced to wear a high-tech combat suit of his own design to protect his damaged body from taking any more hits. And during this time, he didn't want to be called Brainiac 5 anymore.
Oh, man. What's the new name?
5. Just 5. Just the number 5 on his chest.
Can I pitch him a new name?
Brain Boy 5?
No. Brain Pa. Like Grandpa? Brain Pa.
That's horrible.
Yep.
It's better than five.
It is.
You know, for a 12th level intelligence, he's terrible at naming himself. I'm just saying this.
He is terrible at names. When this
must be all the lead.
It's all the lead. He's just eating lead. Someone else doesn't have to. Bring me a lead pie, children. When the 0 hour event occurred, Brainy worked in earnest to preserve the time stream in the 31st century, the 30th century as he knew it. Didn't really work. And here's, remember the clones? He teams up with his younger SW6 clone counterpart to try and do this, but they ultimately fail and everything is rebooted anyway. So, Jason, I want to ask you about this whole 0 hour reboot thing. The
sure.
Legion has a couple really ridiculous reboots, but do you like it when in comics when characters have to team up with younger, older, or alternate versions of themselves?
You mean in relation to events or just in general?
Just in general, or when like different versions of legacy characters, like when Tim Robin had to team up with Dick Grayson Robin.
Let me say one thing first. I do like Zero Hour.
Me too. There's some good stuff in there.
And I like the post-Zero Hour DC because, yeah, the DC was taking a lot of chances back then.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them not great. Some of them really good. Like Kyle Rayner, like Starman. And Damage, a bunch of other stuff like that. Or The Ray. They took a lot of chances on titles that I don't think they would have published otherwise. I'm not a huge fan of that, to be honest with you. I like it more when it's like one-off storylines instead of events. Because a lot of the 0 hour books were that. Like it was like, oh, meet the younger version of this character, blah, blah. Because it's funny because I've just been rereading the Carl Kessel or Kiesel, I don't know how you say his name.
I think it's Kessel.
Superboy run.
Mm-hmm.
And his 0 hour tie in is he goes to Smallville and he runs into Clark Superboy.
Oh, I've never read that. Is it good?
It's all right. It's okay.
Okay.
But it's very similar to the Dick Grayson meets Tim Drake issue.
But that one is really good.
That one's great. So like, there's a little bit of a repeating theme. I actually think one of the best storylines of all time is Green Lantern 100. It's Green Lantern Volume 2 100. Mm-hmm. And Kyle, for the last three issues, has been in the 30th century, and it was called the 30th century until we became the 21st century,
and then it became the 31st,
and then it became
century.
The 31st century.
Yeah. So if we flip flop a little bit in this lesson, I apologize. I should have said that at the beginning.
Exactly. They always keep the Legion 1,000 years ahead of us.
Yeah.
So I always say that the Legion starts in the 30th century, and the reason why it's now the 31st is because
they went through their millennium.
Well, no, it's been a year. We've been a year. So the best storyline for me, the one off of meeting a character, is Green Lantern 100, where Kyle Rayner, after he's coming back from the Legion's time, gets lost in the time stream, and he arrives at Hal Jordan's first confrontation with Sinestro. So he knows everything about Hal Jordan. Hal Jordan is a rookie Green Lantern. Like, Hal Jordan, who is supposed to be the greatest Green Lantern of all time, is
not so great.
He's green compared to Kyle.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kyle's like kind of main thing is that he's the rookie Green Lantern.
Yeah.
But he knows how to use a Green Lantern way better than Hal Jordan. And that was, I think it was such a great story because especially how Kyle looked up to Hal Jordan. So I would say on the whole, not really. I do like it around events.
Mm-hmm.
I think events is the best time to do it. But like in your regular books, I would say it needs to be like a one-off thing.
Yeah.
Like we can't do it regularly. And the downside about the Legion is that, like, God, we've seen, like, four different Legions now. Like, four different Legions. And we're probably going to see a fifth here pretty soon in terms of DC Rebirth and what we're going ahead in.
Yeah.
That it almost becomes this thing where people want to see the previous Legion interact with the current Legion and stuff like that. So it's very problematic.
It's kind of like what the JSA and the JLA used to do in their annuals.
Sure.
A little bit.
But that worked because they were different
Earths.
Also, they were different teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though there was a Green Lantern on that team, like Alan Scott Green Lantern is completely different from Hal Jordan.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, one's a space cop, one's just a dude that's afraid of wood.
All right, so let's jump back into Brainiac 5. Post Zero Hour, the new Brainy was antisocial, disrespectful, and downright mean because it's the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
His strongest connection was to the updated Laurel Gand, remember her, who had changed her name to Andromeda. So whenever we refer to Andromeda, that's her going forward.
Now, we should state, just to be absolutely certain, because we know this, and I don't know if everybody out there knows it, post Zero Hour, as we said before, this is a brand new Legion. So forget everything that Ashley has just told you about Brainiac 5.
Huh.
This is a brand new. Now, it follows a lot of the same stuff.
It does.
But this is a brand new ground zero Legion of Superheroes. Now, here's the weirdest thing. They were publishing Legionnaires and Legion of Superheroes at the same time during Zero Hour. Mm-hmm. And I believe they each of these series were in their 70s.
Issue
70 or whatever. They didn't renumber either book.
Nope. I love that.
So it went from like issue 72 to like issue 73. And issue 73 was like the brand new Legion.
Yeah. They kept the legacy numbers.
They should have renumbered it.
They should have. Also, a lot of the characters got new dumb names. Like I said, Laurel Gann becomes Andromeda. Mon-El becomes Valor. But Brainiac,
I love Valor. Valor is such a good name.
But his name is Mon-El.
But Mon-El's like Jean Grey.
Not a name.
Get yourself a code name.
Yeah.
All right, Mon-El. Look, I'm not going to fight crime as Jeffrey.
Apologies to all the Jeffreys out there.
Look, you're cool dudes, but I'm not going to fight crime as Jeffrey.
Valor has a great costume, though.
He does. Brainiac, this is my favorite Legion, so be kind.
I'm going to be perfectly kind. This is a fine Legion.
Be kind to my brain boy.
Brainy doesn't change his name because he's a grumpy old man here, even though he's young again. It was revealed that Brainy was an outsider on his homeworld as well, and this was blamed on his extremely high intelligence, which resulted in a lack of concern about the outcome of his experiments, which is a trait that he shared with his original version. He was abandoned by his mother at birth, forcing him to be raised by robots, therefore developing no social skills or skill at human connection. He created a way to travel to the then 20th century and use this in conjunction with the Legion to do things like save Valor, that dumb version of Mon-El, until he was arrested for unauthorized time travel, which is something that I would like to happen to Barry Allen. Brainy then also creates holo connections in his spare time. Holo connections are basic holographic projections, and there are implications that these might not just be him creating other friends for himself, that they might be more adult themed, shall we say. And he makes a bunch of them of his fellow Legionnaires, like there's one of Andromeda, there's one of Dreamer, there's one of Spark, and someone who you can only see part of their name on panel, and it's I-N. And it's been implied that this is Invisible Kid, who is a male, and then he gets lost, the Legion helps save him, and when Brainy helps him, he kisses him on the cheek because he's so overwhelmed with emotion that Invisible Kid is okay. So that has been construed as maybe Brainy likes him, but also maybe it's because they're sort of related because Invisible Kid is another Brainiac. I only included that because I think it's one of the more interesting questions that's left about this character because he has so few personal or romantic relationships. Later, he becomes trapped in the 20th century along with a bunch of fellow Legionnaires, and using all the ragtag technology he can find, Brainy builds a machine capable of bringing his team back home, only to have it evolved into Computo again, forcing the Legion to destroy it. But because it's the 90s, it's not just Computo, it's C.O.M.P.U.T.O., which is dumb spelling. He did get a chance to interact with the original Brainiac, Vryl Dox, and post-crisis Supergirl during this time, who he was also attracted to. And when he finally did return to the 30th century, Brainy encountered a mysterious space anomaly that upgraded him. And this basically meant that he got a personality upgrade and he became kinder and more considerate of others because he's so crotchety at the beginning of this post-Zero Hour continuity.
Yes, he is.
Here was when he began to investigate a terrorist group known as the Dark Circle, learning that his mother was the leader. The shock of this discovery almost reverted Brainy back to his former harsher personality, and he does become more sarcastic again, but still pretty much a good guy. His next project is mired by complicated emotions he has. And Brainy unintentionally creates a bizarro Legion. I'm not kidding.
I actually think that sounds really cool.
Okay, so that was my question. I wanted to ask, you know, Brainiac is a really important Superman villain. Bizarro is a really important Superman villain. So do you think that the Bizarro Legion is something that could work in a modern Superman or Super Son story?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, 100% yes. Because I
look up the artwork if you've never seen it. They look amazing.
I haven't read the storyline. I don't know why I don't know it.
That's okay.
I think it's an amazing idea because the thing that everybody forgets is the Legion comes from Superman.
They do.
They are Superman characters. So, like, to me, the more you connect them to the Superman legacy
and the larger mythos,
yeah, the better off they'll be. Like, that's why I've always said for the longest time that, like, they keep trying to put out Legion of Superhero books and they keep failing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that maybe we're so far, look, I hate to say it, but I don't think I love the Legion of Superheroes, but I think they're kind of like Star Trek. Like, we haven't had a good series of them in a long time. So you got to think about, you got to J.J. Abrams it a little bit. You got to take us back to what we love. You know,
excuse me.
Give, you know, do like Star Trek, give us Kirk again. So maybe if we're going to relaunch the Legion, maybe it should just be Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes, and let us see Superboy's first adventures redone
mm-hmm.
with the Legion. Make us love him again. And if you put Superman in the book, guess what? It's going to help it sell because Superman's in the book.
Yeah.
You know, so
you're a pro Bizarro Legion. Cool.
Yep.
When Brainy next crops up is Legion Lost, my first Legion story.
By the way, I did look up some pictures of the Bizarro Legion, and Lightning Lad Bizarro has a hook hand.
Yes, he does.
That's awesome.
Jason loves a good hook hand. Look forward to that in the Aquaman lesson.
Oh my God, you have to like.
It's there, awesome.
You got to share some pictures of these on the Geek History Lesson Facebook.
Okay, I will. I'll make a little album.
Yeah, I think these pictures are great. Oh, man. Like Bizarro Legion. Anybody at DC, either hire us to write this or please just take it.
Yeah.
This is, man, there's some great artwork here.
Mm-hmm.
This is really good. Bizarro Legion. Let's just make Bizarro Legion book.
Okay, great.
Let's just do that.
Great.
Oh, my God. But our Brainiac's going to be called Brain Boy.
Brain Boy, okay. So during Legion Lost, Brainiac is a member, Brainiac 5, is a member of the Legion team that is sent into a distant galaxy and stuck there after their Stargate network stops working, and they're forced to spend the next year traveling back through the Lost Galaxy. During this time, he is under tremendous pressure from his teammates to find a way of getting them back home, as well as keeping everything running and making repairs simultaneously. He does later admit to Saturn Girl that he has no idea where they are, where their home is, or how to get them home, and he hates being known. All right, so at this time, post Zero Hour, he called himself Brainiac 5.1.
Yes.
And this is when he takes the opportunity to retcon his name back to Brainiac 5. He just wants to be Brainiac 5.
Mm-hmm.
So he becomes Brainiac 5 again. In the end, he is responsible for getting the Legion back home, making use of an interdimensional doorway that they had encountered like right at the beginning of the story and just kind of whizzed past.
Well, they didn't know how to work it.
Exactly.
It took him like a year to figure out how to do it.
But if they'd stuck around long enough. And that's Brainiac saying, he's like, why are we leaving? As soon as they return, Brainy goes to work on a replacement for the Stargate network that had failed him and his team in the first place. He tangles with Computo again when it is revealed that he's overtaken the planet Robotica, which is exactly what it sounds like. Brainy tricks him into upgrading, and this somehow makes him unevil. However, it is then revealed that the Kaluans hate artificial intelligence, which is hilarious because most of them are techno-organic, and Brainy's creation of Computo has made him a pariah on his homeworld. He comes under even more dislike from his home planet for saving Computo instead of simply destroying it after their encounter. Brainy then crops up in DC 1 million. Jason's not favorite story ever. A good story.
It's a good storyline. It's Grant Morrison's storyline.
A crossover event set in the 853rd century. He is a member of Justice Legion L. Remember when we talked about them earlier? But by this point, he's not the Brainiac 5 that we know and love with the cute blonde hair. He's Brainiac 417 from the planet. I can't really pronounce this. It's Kolu-BGZTL.
So this is technically a different character.
It is technically a different yep. character, but he's derivative of Brainiac 5, sure. which is why we're going to talk about him.
And I think he has blonde hair, doesn't he?
He does have blonde hair, and he's green. And all members of his race are super intelligent and can transform into an intangible state. They are beings of pure intelligence and thought. Brainiac 417 has integrated technology into his biology, and this allows him to jump back 1,000 years, 1 million years, and however many years, and recruit a version of Superboy to help Justice Legion L save the day, which is kind of cool. Of the DC 1 millions, this is one of the good stories. The next Legion reboot is commonly referred to as the 3-boot because it's like the third major reboot they've undergone. and it launched in 2004.
All right, so let's explain.
And it's numbered at volume 5. So that's like how far into Legion continuity
yes,
we are.
And they do, at this time, they do start it back at issue number 1. Now, I believe this is right before... Now, this one is not connected to an event.
No.
The previous reboot was connected to Zero Hour. This reboot is just before Infinite Crisis, I believe.
It is just before. Yeah, because we're going to get...
Now, here's the weirdest thing. You know who writes this run?
No.
Mark Waid.
That's weird.
They asked Mark Waid to reboot the Legion again, but
they were
not,
like, well, you did it the first time.
But not to reboot it to where he did it before.
Yeah.
He did it completely differently. Now, this is... my least favorite Legion.
Cool, so we could smack talk this one?
We can. This is a Legion. There are some great ideas in this Legion reboot,
mm-hmm.
but again, this is my least favorite. It's also because I believe Mark Waid only stayed on it for like about the first 20 issues, and
right.
then he hopped, and it just, the title sinks.
So this version of Brainy is a lot closer to Ryle Doc's second clone, with almost the same arrogant personality and political leanings. It's also my least favorite version of Brainiac 5. As a result, he often clashes with Cosmic Boy, who was the team's leader, for implementing plans without Cosmic Boy's permission. He becomes fixated on Dream Girl because he hates that she's able to predict the future without using the scientific method. When she tells Brainiac that she had a precog vision that they're going to be married in the future, he is deeply bothered by this, becoming more and more bothered after she dies following an attack on the Legion HQ, because now that future can never come to pass. This leads him to become fixated on the concept of outthinking death, which is this is mostly his arc, and undertaking experiments to try and bring her back to life. He's able to merge Dream Girl's consciousness with his unconscious mind, where they can be together, but only in his dreams. Fun fact, he is able to use her precognitive abilities following this merging, so he's kind of psychic right now. His relationship with Dream Girl jumps to the next level when she is projected into the physical body of Princess Projecta, dumb name, and Brainy proposes to her. She accepts. However, afterward, Princess Projecta viciously attacks Dream Girl once she's returned to Brainiac's mind, and she gouges out Dream Girl's eyes, removing them physically and stunting her powers. Brainy later manages to build a new body for Dream Girl from remnants of a race of digitalized aliens and downloads her consciousness into it when he's connected to cyberspace, and this even restores her sight. So, yay! They invite the rest of the Legionnaires to attend their wedding. Then Infinite Crisis happens, and the Legion kind of returns to their pre-crisis on Infinite Earthselves.
That's a little bit after Infinite Crisis.
You're right. Jason, really quick, what's Infinite Crisis?
Infinite Crisis is where Superboy Prime shows up.
That guy.
The guy from our Earth, because he's one of the survivors of the original Crisis on Infinite Earths, and he punches so many holes in reality that it basically reboots the DC Universe, giving it a 52 universe multiverse again.
Yes. So the returned sort of original version plays a really brief part in the Lightning Saga, which you'll hear more about in our Legion episode. Brainiac's not a big part of it, so we're going to kind of skip over it. And then he plays a more important role in the follow-up adventure, Superman and the Legion of Superheroes, which takes place from Action Comics number 858 to 863. Here he is undercover as the dictator of Kolu to stall the United Planets attack on Earth. The United Planets are a bunch of planets that don't like Earth.
Now, real quick, let's talk about the Legion here again.
Okay.
Just because it's so difficult to talk about the Legion.
Talk about a Legionnaire and not the Legion.
Well, no. I was going to say it's so difficult to talk about any Legion character and not have to explain these insane reboots.
Mm.
This Brainiac and this version of Legion of Superheroes are the original versions from pre-Zero Hour.
Yeah. The 50s version.
These are the original versions of the characters. They're older.
Mm-hmm.
They're like in their late 30s now.
Yeah.
Like Brainiac has long hair.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
But these are
the same.
So we've gone back three reboots to the original characters.
Yeah.
And there's no explanation in the story why. It just happens.
It just happens and go with
Superman
it.
Superman just meets them and it's just like, all right, go with it.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what? And I assume you're going to talk about it there's a later story that's coming down the pike called Legion of Three Worlds.
Yeah, we're right about to get to that.
That basically has to exist to explain what the hell is going on.
Yeah, so during this time, the Kaluans are trying to complete a calculation that will allow them to take out Earth once and for all, and Brainy just can't let that happen. He doesn't want to destroy the, you know, not the birthplace, but the home of Superman. He's eventually found out and forced to free Kalu with the rest of the Legion with only 4 hours left before the United Planets attack Earth. Then Superman shows up, and with his help, they save the day. Brainy then goes on to appear in Final Crisis : Legion of Three Worlds, a Final Crisis tie-in,
which
sort
literally
of.
Has nothing to do with Final Crisis.
It has nothing to do with, but they branded it that way because it'll look good on the shelf.
It'll sell books, kids.
It really doesn't sell.
After, it did sell. It sold a lot.
But it's not a book that's still in print as far as I know.
No, it's not, but it is one of the best Legion stories. It really is.
After having been banished from Kalu, he goes a little insane. His home planet doesn't want him, and Earth's xenophobic nature won't allow him to reside there either, so Brainy has, like, nowhere to go. He even considers leaving the Legion, but stays when Superboy Prime frees the Legion of Supervillains. He plans to recruit the Legionnaires from two other realities to help, but the Three-boot version of him wants nothing to do with his other two selves, except in the end, all three of them do agree to work together.
And then he also gets the Archie Legion as well.
Yes, he does. Yep. Yeah. They resurrect Bart Allen, who was the secret thing they were keeping inside the lightning rod during the lightning saga the whole time, and Connor Kent. So, hooray. Then the New 52 happens.
Yep, and then that storyline's pretty forgotten pretty quick.
Yeah, Jason, real quick, what's the New 52?
The New 52 is where Barry Allen decides to visit back into the past to see his mommy, because his mommy was going to tell him something. Also, he missed his mommy's hugs and her snickerdoodles. So he went back in time, rewrote history, found out that, oh, wait, these snickerdoodles aren't as good as I remember, ran back into the future to put it all back together, and like a bull in a china shop, he found out that he couldn't glue the teapot together and things were different.
Fun fact, in the New 52, the Legion seemed to stay the same, even though it was kind of different. So it hasn't been confirmed whether or not this was a reboot of the Legion that came before,
but
or whether
it doesn't matter because it was canceled in 20 issues.
It really doesn't matter. The only thing you really need to know about Brainiac is that Brainiac is no longer the character's name, but it is a title endowed upon him for greatness or whatever. And that's where we're at, because we're waiting for him to show up in Rebirth.
Well, because the Legion hasn't been around since then.
Yeah,
it kind of popped up in Justice League Canada, but it
for like a second,
but then it was a kind of ignored.
Yeah,
and there's hints that the Legion is coming back. Mm-hmm. I hope they come back because I love them and they're awesome, but they're not around.
Yeah,
but they're showing up in Supergirl.
They are showing up in Supergirl
season 3.
Yeah, so let's jump right into recommended reading, shall we?
Yes, recommended reading is where Ashley is going to recommend three titles that you should read if you're curious about Brainiac 5, and you can find our list of all the titles we've ever recommended for all the episodes at geekhistorylesson.com/recommended reading. You can click on that little thing, you can go right to Amazon, you can pick up that book, and you can put as much brain boy in your head as you want.
So I do have three recommendations. If you want to see where it all started and you want to see some of the greatest Legion adventures, you can get the Legion Silver Age Omnibus. You can also use it as a doorstop. It will keep your doors open, and it'll use it as weight.
It's good for moving.
They're good adventures
and good for reading.
I would also recommend Legion Lost, which is one of my favorite adventures, and you get to see Brainiac actually be really human here. You get to see him struggle and then ultimately save the day. And then lastly, I'm going to recommend Legion of Superheroes, Legion of Three Worlds, because it's one of the more epic stories that these characters get, and the three Brainies pretending that they're not going to work together but ultimately doing it are a good time.
Drawn by George Perez.
One of the greatest artists ever. One of our greatest living artists, certainly. All right. Shall we roll into a really quick discussion?
Is it really quick?
Really quick.
This was Brainiac 5 a long episode?
It was. Well, we're almost at an hour.
Who cares? Come on, let's talk.
Okay. So, Jason, as we said at the top, Brainiac 5 is derivative of a classic Superman villain.
Sure.
But you and I both really like him.
Sure.
So I want to know, what do you think he's done that has helped differentiate himself from his progenitor so that he stands out as an original character? Because we have a lot of legacy characters who kind of get lost in the fray because they're not different enough from their inspiration.
He's just a hero. That's it.
You think that's enough? The fact that we have good guy Brainiac?
That's all it is. That's all it needs to be. He's just a hero. And the idea that they're... I mean, to be honest with you, who named him first did a really good idea. Like, not calling him Brainiac 2 was really smart. Like, giving him Brainiac 5, like, really...
It's probably Jerry Siegel.
Really created this idea of, like, oh, there's a legacy here. And, and that's something that really works in the DC universe, is this legacy. Like, again, Robin, Nightwing, Flash, Kid Flash, Speedy, Arsenal, like, all that stuff. So to do it to the villain, I think, was a great call. And also, it... I don't know. It was a very interesting idea to flip the villain, because you got to imagine around the 50s or 60s when the Legion first showed up.
58, yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't done that often.
So he showed up in 61, so yeah.
You know, I mean, with the exception of, you know, we're going to see Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch flip sides in about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But on the Avengers. But, you know, I don't know. Brainiac 5 is enough. I mean, one of my favorite versions of Brainiac 5 is the Smallville version, played by James Marsters.
Oh, yeah?
Because James Marsters is one of... He plays regular Brainiac on that show in season 5. And he does a fantastic job. He's a great Brainiac. And then in season 10, he first shows up and Clark Kent starts punching on him because he's like, oh crap, Brainiac. And it takes the entire episode for him to be like, no, I'm Brainiac 5, stop hitting me. You know, but it creates this episode where, like, Superman gets lost in the time stream. And I don't know, I think it's a cool idea. It's an idea that actually, you know, and you can all maybe only do it with Superman because he's a science fiction character, but, you know, it's an idea that I think you could explore with other heroes. Like, it would be interesting to see, you know, other versions, you know, of a villain flipped hero or a hero flipped villain.
Like, if the Joker's daughter was a nice lady, instead like of a scary lady.
Like, if Joker's daughter was like a good bounty hunter or something like that, you know?
Would you like to see Brainiac 5 come up against the new baby Jonathan Kent? Or would you like to see any interactions between the two of them? Because I really would.
You mean a version of Brainiac?
No, Brainiac 5.
Well, they'd be allies. They wouldn't be enemies.
Well, I phrased that wrong, but would you like to see them interact in a comic?
Oh, you mean to have, like, Superboy join the Legion?
Yeah.
That would be cool. I don't know if you could do this. Okay, here you go.
Okay.
I'm throwing this out in the world, but I don't care, so I don't care if somebody runs with it. How cool would it be to see Brainiac 5 be like, Superman, I've always been inspired by you. You're a great blah, 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 blah. You being such a great family man and your legacy inspired me to be a family man. I have invented Brainiac 0.5.
Oh my God.
And it's a little Brainiac and he becomes John's friend.
I would love that. I would really, really love it. I'd also love for him to crop up in the Supergirl book.
Brainiac?
Brainiac 5, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've always thought that they should, because the Legion always drops into our century.
Yes.
And they always get trapped in our century.
Yeah.
I've always kind of thought that, like, of all the characters, like, Brainiac 5 should be permanently trapped in the 20th century to become a Supergirl supporting character.
I wanted him to be on the Teen Titans for a long time.
Oh, that'd be... I don't know if he'd work on the Teen Titans. He'd take over the Teen Titans.
Yeah, he would.
You know, and you gotta...
But I think especially now, because Cyborg has graduated to Justice League,
sure,
he could fill a similar role because he's a technology guy.
Sure. So you want to keep Brainiac 5 as a teenager, though?
I do. I prefer Brainiac 5 as a teenager.
Like, how old is too old for a Legionnaire for you? Like
18, when,
so,
20.
So, yeah, you don't want to read a Legion book when they're 20.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like there's not good stories to tell there, but it's the same thing. Like, I don't want it to be called Teen Titans and Dick Grayson's got leg hair. Like, you know? Like,
well, you know, I'll tell you what. One of the things that I was always surprised the Legion never did is I always expected the Legionnaires to graduate like the X-Men.
Well, how come there's not a junior Legion?
Right? Or, like, to me, I've always felt like, how come a Legion, like... You know, because, like, in the X-Men, you have your whole team is, like, of different ages. Like, you have, like, Cyclops and Wolverine are older and Kitty Pryde is younger.
Mm.
And then now as we've moved along, like, Kitty Pryde is, like, in the middle now and Logan's an old man. And now we have new characters like Armor.
Yeah.
I love
Armor.
I always kind of thought the Legion should be like that, too. Like, Cosmic Boy, Lightning Lad and Saturn Girl should be, like, the headmasters. And it should be, like, an academy.
Mm-hmm.
And now we got younger kids like Grassman. Or Grass Kid.
Well, they did have Arm Fall Off Boy.
You know.
If you were writing that, would you continue the girl boy naming trend or would you give them all better names?
I try to give them all sciencey names, like space names. But there is something to be said for doing that because you could be like, oh, it's so far in the future that it's now retro is cool.
Yeah.
You know, if you explained it in that universe, like, oh, boy and girl is like back.
But then if you did that, I think you would have to have a character who's like, we don't have gender on my planet.
Yeah.
Or like, my planet is gender fluid. So yeah. I'm just like, I'm a fire it mm-hmm. or fire they or yeah, something yeah. like that.
Yeah. I think the Legion of Superheroes is like, is a great concept that I just think in a modern world just hasn't been tapped. I think people are too precious with it, just like Star Trek.
I agree.
And I really...
But it does come from the same thing as Star Trek. It is retro future.
It is retro future, but I think like it needs to be kicked in the pants because it can work. It could so work. And it blows me away because I keep thinking that modern writers keep trying to write it like it's still in the 1960s. And it's like, guys, no.
Yeah.
It's not in the 1960s anymore. Like, the concept of it can work, but you can't write it like it's the Silver Age anymore. You can't do it. That's the reason why a Legion book, I think, hasn't succeeded in 20 years.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? So those are my thoughts anyway.
All right. Well, let's how about we wrap up with our teaching tweet?
Teaching tweet is where Ashley, in about 140 characters, because we're sticking to the original tenets of Twitter. We don't believe in 280 character Twitter. We don't like it.
Circle.
That is Brain Boy taking over. 140 characters or less, Ashley will give you a tweet that you can later see on at GHL Podcast, our official Twitter account.
Brainiac 5, the cutest, grumpiest, smartest green alien this side of the 31st century, with an exclamation point.
Ashley really likes Brainiac.
He's so cute.
Go follow us on Twitter. Also, another thing, our last section of our podcast is something called the Geek History Lesson Honor Roll. And that's if you go over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review to help promote this podcast and help get the word out in this podcast and help us in the iTunes search algorithm. Doesn't matter what you write, we're going to read it on the show. Ashley, who joins the honor roll and gets to eat our bagels this month?
Dick Grayson 32 joins the honor roll.
The 32nd Dick Grayson, all right.
Yes, or Dick Grayson at age 32, I guess.
Maybe.
And he writes, this podcast is baller. I never had read comics until I came across this podcast. Now I have too many to read. Me too, bro. So I guess that's a good thing. That's so nice that we could help him read comics.
Thanks, Dick Grayson 32. And thank you for leaving us the review. Be like Dick Grayson 32. Come into the teacher's lounge. Join the honor roll and give us a 5-star review and help out this podcast. You can also help out this podcast by subscribing on iTunes, listening to us on Spotify and also SoundCloud and anywhere that you can absorb podcasts. Ashley, nobody suggested Brainiac 5.
Nope.
Where can they do that?
You can do that on geekhistorylesson.com, facebook.com/geekhistorylesson, and again on Twitter at GHL Podcast. There's like 1,000 ways to contact us in all of those places.
Yes. And also you can go over to patreon.com/Jawan. That's the place where you can support this free content and keep us going for another 200 episodes. Ashley, what are we going to be talking about on our Patreon exclusive podcast, Geek History Lesson Extra?
We're going to be delving into a question. Is Brainiac 5 smarter than blank robot character?
So like the smartest robot superhero characters.
Yes.
All right. And if you want to listen to that episode, you can only listen to it on our Patreon. So get over there and support us, you crazy monkeys. On Twitter, I am at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N. Ashley is at Ashley V. Robinson. And I've already said the podcast Twitter. I'm not going to repeat it. Thank you so much for listening to Geek History Lesson. I am Jason Inman 0.5.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And Professor Ashley, would you please close out this robotic podcast?
Class is now dismissed.